Just you, Jesus. Just you, Jesus. Nothing else. No one else. Just you, Jesus. When the music fades and all is stripped away, and I simply go, longing just to bring something that's worth, that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not quiet. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart, and I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. Oh, it's all.
You know, what kept coming to me as we were singing that is Jesus took a little child one time and he brought that little child and said, unless you become like little children, you will not enter the kingdom of God. Now think about that, because the thing about a child's faith is simple. It's not complicated. It's not about this striving about the law. It's not all this nonsense. It's all about Jesus now. Simple faith, simple trust in him. Simple drawing near to him. Simple wanting to know him for yourself. To really know him. Because the bottom line, what is eternal life? John 17:3 says, Jesus was praying. He said that they might know thee. This is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. That's eternal life. The question is, do you know him? You know, and I was thinking about how all these people that want to go back up under the law, old covenant law, and they talk about, oh, we want to do that because we want to walk like Jesus walked. Let me tell you something. Here's what you want to do. You want to walk like Jesus walked. He healed the sick. He cast out demons. He opened the eyes of the blind. He walked in the gifts and power of the Holy Spirit and was always led by the Holy Spirit. That's what is about walking like Jesus walked, not going back under the Old Testament. That's about as foolish as it gets. Aren't we to desire the spiritual gifts? See, I want to be able to walk up to somebody and say, go get your husband. They say, I don't have a husband. And I said, you're telling the truth because you've had five husbands and the one you have now is not your husband. You want to walk like Jesus walked. What must we do? He said, that we might work the works of God. What did Jesus say? Believe me. Believe in me. That's the work of God. See, if you trust him, a simple trust like a child has in their parents, the simple trust, simple faith. And unless you go back to this, he said, you're not entering the kingdom of God. You want to get all religious and all complicated? That's fine and dandy, but you better never lose the reality that your faith has to be that of a little child. And that you've got to want to know Jesus intimately and personally in a powerful way on your own. You will not get to heaven through the pastor, through the YouTube teacher, through mom or dad, through grandpa or grandma. You're not getting to heaven but by Jesus Christ. That's it. And you must know him. Not know about him. You must know him yourself. You must be born again through faith in his blood and his resurrection and his righteousness. You must be willing not just to repent and turn from sin, but be willing to follow him. And how do you follow him? You must be led by the Holy Spirit. You say, well, Pastor Dean, you talk about this all the time. Yes, I do, because this is our Christianity. It's what true Christianity is supposed to be about. Knowing Jesus Christ and being led by the Holy Spirit. And if you're led by the Holy Spirit, then you're going to be obedient to his word, his written word, and what the Holy Spirit is telling you to do. And if you're obedient and in the will of God for your life, you will bear fruit. And I'm not talking about the fruit of zeet-zeets. I'm talking about the fruit of souls saved, lives changed. I'm going to read you a testimony in a minute that is going to explain this. But I feel like we need to do this song one more time. That we just need to spend another 8 or so minutes, I think this song is, and worship the Lord. Can you do that for 8 more minutes? Because we're not in a hurry. Just always remember this, too. Jesus does love you, and he wants you to make it. He's not against you. He's not waiting for you to make a mistake so he can swat you. He wants you to make it in life, walking with him, and he wants you to make it to heaven. You know, 1 Timothy is very clear. It says God wills or desires all men to come to the knowledge of the truth. If God hadn't decided to give us free will so we wouldn't be robots, he'd just have all of us there. But he's like, y'all going to choose. You're going to choose who you walk with, and where you end up for all eternity. So you choose. But let's worship him for a few more minutes and then we'll get into this. Go ahead.
Jesus, you don't owe me anything more than anything that you can do. I just want you. I'm sorry when I've just gone through the motions. I'm sorry when I just sang another song. Take me back to where we started. I open up my heart to you. And I'm sorry when I've come with my agenda. I'm sorry when I forgot that you're enough. Take me back to where we started. I open up my heart to you. I'm caught up in your prayer. Just you, Jesus, nothing else, no one else, just you, Jesus. When the music fades and all is stripped away, and I simply go. Longing just to bring some. search much deeper within. Through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. And I'm coming back to the heart of worship. And it's all about you. Oh, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made. When it's all about you. Oh, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. And it's all about you. It's all. Nothing else will do. I just want you. And nothing else. Oh, nothing else, nothing else. Nothing else will do.
Yes, Lord, that's what we want. We want you, Jesus. Your presence in our lives, your anointing, the power of your Spirit. We want to be full of your Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus. And we want to walk like you walk, doing the works you did to set the captives free, to bring the sinner to repentance, to see people born again through faith, simple faith. And what you did on the cross and your resurrection. We want to see people, yes, convicted of sin and brought to true repentance. See eyes open, Lord. And only you can give the revelation, the understanding. You must convict them. You must draw them. You must open their eyes to the simplicity that is in Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for that. That it is simple, that it, even a child can understand. And Lord, you even set some Pharisees and Sadducees free. They got saved too. So Lord, bring them out. Bring us all out of darkness, out of religion, out of some list of rules we think we have to keep, that we may just walk with you in relationship, in faith, in a Spirit-led, true Christianity. Lord, we thank you for that. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated this morning. I want to read first. We're going to read something. I preached on it, really, a few weeks ago, but I need to read this again. This is Philippians chapter 3. I mean, folks, your walk with God is supposed to be supernatural. That should be the experience of your life. Now, I don't mean that God's going to do a miracle and get you out of every trial you have to go through. But what I'm saying is there should always be a witness of the Holy Spirit in your life. There should always be a two-way communication going on, not one way. And I found that if you just will worship God in spirit and in truth with all your heart, and you want what he wants, and you'll read his word, meditate on his word, and spend time with him, he's promised he will manifest himself to you. Now, people talk about the presence of God, but let me tell you right now, that yes, God is everywhere all the time. You know, David said even if he made his bed in hell, that the presence of the Lord was there. He couldn't escape the Lord. He's everywhere. That is true, but there is a difference between that presence of the Lord everywhere and when he concentrates it and manifests it in one spot. And when he does, that's when things happen. You see, I have no desire to push you back under the Old Testament. My desire is to push you into being led by the Holy Spirit. That's all I want you to be. That's why I tell Nancy and I, you know what most of our counseling ends up being? Pray about it. Pray about it and let the Lord speak to your heart, because we are not responsible to tell you everything to do. You should be listening. If you are a born-again Christian, following Jesus, loving Jesus, hating sin, and you're full of the Holy Spirit and you want his will to be done in your life, you should be hearing his voice. And if not, if something's in the way, he'll show you what's in the way, and then you remove it. If it's unforgiveness, if it's bitterness towards somebody, deal with that unforgiveness. If it's some habitual sin, some besetting sin, deal with that. Repent of it. Get out of it. Stop doing it. And if you need deliverance, get deliverance from it. Cast the demon out and get free from it in Jesus' name. But you should be moving forward. You should be hearing his voice. So anybody out there that thinks it's odd that a Christian should hear the voice of God for themselves and be led by the Holy Spirit, anybody that kind of diminishes that or dismisses that, run away from them. Or anybody that makes you feel like you've got to hear from them and not from God for yourself. You understand? We have people come to us all the time with big issues, big questions. Should I do this? Should I do that? I can tell you right now, 99 times out of 100, I'm not going to say one thing about it, even if I know what they should do. Most of the time, I tell you the truth, I don't know. But a lot of times, even if I know, I'm not going to say it, because they need to hear the Lord Jesus speak to them. They need the Holy Spirit to guide them. They need to know he's talking to them. Amen? That is Christianity. Loving Jesus with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and being led by the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit moving and working in your life. I mean, if I had to preach the last sermon and somebody would say, define for me Christianity, that is it. Know Jesus Christ. Know him personally. Because you've believed in his atoning death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead, and his Spirit now dwells in you, and you walk with him and live with him and hear from him. I started hearing him when I was 19 years old, and I have followed him ever since. That's why I say some of these jokers out here that think they're Bible teachers. I don't care how much knowledge you think you have. Guess what? Information, just because you have a bunch of information, does not mean you are walking in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's a lot of this danger out here now with this information world we live in. You can think you can get full of information and you actually know God. No, not necessarily. Information, knowledge, is not the only thing there is. And this is what Paul said. I'm going to read this in Philippians 3. Let's read from verse 1 real quick. He said, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me, indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Now, he's directly relating, bringing in circumcision here to talk about the requirements of the Mosaic law. He said, we're not even about this. We're about worshiping God in the Spirit and rejoicing in Jesus Christ and have no confidence in these things of the flesh, like circumcision. And then he says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. So Paul said, I was, according to the law, I was blameless. Meaning, there wasn't, Paul's saying, there wasn't anybody that tried to walk more according to the law than I did. He was zealous for the law. And he said, but, somebody say but. He said, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Now let me pause right there. The word knowledge, if you just look it up in a simple Webster's dictionary, here's what it means. It means an understanding gained by experience. Now think about that. That's what he's talking about. Knowing Jesus by experience. That's what being born again is. That's when Jesus comes in and you know he came in and washed your sins away and now lives inside of you by his Spirit. If you hadn't had that experience, then you need to start seeking God to be born again. And Jesus said it's pretty important because if you are not born again, you will not see the kingdom of God, period. He said you must be born again. And who was he talking to? A good Pharisee who was trying to keep the law. Guess what? He was telling them, all that's not going to save you. You must be born again through simple childlike faith in Jesus Christ and what he has done on the cross and his resurrection. And then he says, yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power. The word power there in the Greek, dunamis, means the Holy Spirit, supernatural power, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, and being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I, which I may apprehend, that for which I all am also apprehended of Christ. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many be perfect or mature, be thus minded. Now, that right there, I want to read this testimony to you. See, this is why y'all wonder why I preach the way I preach sometimes. Why I get on these things and get into these battles with these Torah terrorists. Here's why. And they're just going they're going to put it up on the screen so you can see it's legit. I got this on, and I asked this person if they were okay if I shared this testimony, and they said, share away. So I got this on December 28th, and just so you can see, this Rusty Shackelford. And he said this. He said, I have been following the Hebrew Israelite teaching as a result of studying the Word of God and rebuked the holidays and tried following the Torah, but because there was so much fear in which name to use, talking about which name of Jesus or God to use, and what not to do, and no direction of what to do as far as Sabbath, the name to use, even began to have fear in believing in Jesus Christ, he said, or calling upon his name. I had a dream a while ago when praying on Christmas and Jesus, and though I cannot recall the dream, I woke up in tears of joy, yelling, the North Pole is real. So he wakes up in this dream, the North Pole is real. He said, I scared my family as I was napping in the living room. After this happened about a year ago, I set aside my spiritual journey as I felt the spirit of fear and confusion was upon my heart. I came across your Christmas series, The Mountain of God in the North and Paradise and Christmas series. He said, I came across your Christmas series after watching your amazing presentation in the debate with Greg Locke. I was hesitant to watch, but I gave it a full day of watching, listening, and having my Bible beside me. And I would like to thank you because you have restored my belief in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I once again feel the Holy Spirit moving in me. With tears in my eyes, I am writing to tell you I am once again wholeheartedly a born-again Christian. Thank you for your work with the Word of God in Jesus Christ. I now understand my dream and what I was not ready to accept at the time. I was brought to my knees and humbled through the Word of God and the Scripture you shared, and I knew it in my heart to be true. I cannot thank you enough for your work in the truth and Scripture. I have been delivered from the false doctrine filled with fear and dead works unto the living Word and Spirit of Jesus Christ. Thank you, brother. I am eternally grateful. May you be blessed all your days for what you do. So that's why we do what we do. And go ahead and give God praise. Yes. I can't explain to you. There is no better definition there. If you try to go back under the works of the old covenant law, you go back under death. And he tells us, the Bible tells us clearly that was the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Amen? 2 Corinthians 3. And then, so this is what, again, this is what it's all about. And I'm going to tell you right now, the Lord, you know, that's why he told the church at Ephesus, you know, he said, I know your works. You do all this stuff. You're diligent. You're a good church. You're active. He said, but you left your first love. And then what does he tell them? How to get back to their first love. Now, what is he talking about, their first love? That way you were when you were first born again, when you first came to know Jesus, when your sins were first forgiven and that load of sin was lifted off of you and you felt washed and clean and you felt his presence and you knew you were born again and you were excited about it and all you wanted to do was pray and read your Bible and get in church so you could worship and fellowship. You just were hungry. There was no religious arguments and all kind of nonsense. You just were excited that you just had found forgiveness of your sins. You just found salvation. You just found forgiveness and joy and peace and a knowing of where you are going to go when you die. And he says, you guys have left that first love. And what do you say? How do you get back there? He said, go do the first works. What were you doing when you first were born again? Were you striving to keep Passover? Wait a minute, I better go strive to keep Passover. That was the last thing I was doing when I came back to Jesus, when I was truly born again. I wanted to know his word, the new covenant I was living in. And then I started finding out that he wanted me to do the works that he did, like open blind eyes and deaf ears and see the crippled walk. Cast demons out of people. Lead people to Jesus. Preach the gospel of Jesus to them. And lead them to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And you know what I did at 19 years old? I got busy doing that. And guess what? I didn't know anything about Nephilim or Tzitzits or trying to keep Passover or worrying about circumcision or uncircumcision. I didn't know none of those things. It was, hey, Jesus died for your sins, rose from the dead. You must believe in him. You must turn from your sin and follow him. Amen. Come on with me. And do you know that a lot of my friends, that we were a bunch of partying, dope smoking, pill taking, drunken, fornicating, crazy people, a bunch of them came on with me, and they're ministers to this day. See, that's the fruit. I don't want to hear about how you kept Passover because you didn't keep it anyway unless you killed the lamb and ate the whole thing before the next morning with your shoes on. I want to hear how you went out and preached Jesus to somebody and led them to repentance and the prayer of faith. And you've seen that them stay saved for a year, 2 years, 3 years walking with Jesus. Do you have lasting fruit? Tell me about when you've heard the Holy Spirit speak to you and something supernatural happened. I want to hear about the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom and prophecy and discerning of spirits and the gifts of healing and working of miracles. I want to hear about the gifts of the Spirit working in your life. That's what is important. I literally watched. Why I did this to myself, I don't know. I've watched some things, troubling things in the last few days. But I went back and watched an old virtual house church with Rob Skiba, and he had a little panel. And they were literally talking about that if you didn't keep Passover, you didn't really love God. Oh, but it gets better. They said, well, you know, if you're not, if a man is literally not circumcised, then he can't keep Passover. So then they were talking about that whole discussion, about literal circumcision, or you really not showing you love God because you couldn't keep Passover. Do you see what I'm talking about? And literally, this is what Paul and all the other apostles addressed. Do you have to be circumcised to be saved, to show you really love God, that you're really following God? No. It's by faith. It's by faith alone. Now, yes, faith has works. But here's what they don't understand. I want to show you something. Let's go to James. Y'all don't mind this, do you? Goodness, my pages. All right. Now, I believe this, and we're going to start reading from verse, we're going to go to James 2, verse 14. And let me give you some expressions the Bible gives. There's the law of Moses, and there's the law of faith. They are not the same. All right? There is a law we live under. Whew. Thank you. There is a law, but it's the law of faith. But let's look at this. But faith does have works. Well, what works? I'm going to show you. All right, so let's read this. He said, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? So even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. And, of course, that illustration he's given is of actually loving your brother or sister enough to actually help them. Okay? Then he goes on and says, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. But the devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Then he gives this illustration, and this is so very important. He says, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest then how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. So you see how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she received the messengers. And he goes on to say, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. Now, let's break this down real quick. The illustration of Abraham here is very important. Because Abraham lived 400 plus years before the law, right? Now, God did give him the sign of his covenant, which was circumcision, the requirement. There's always a requirement within a covenant. I mean, if I sign a contract with somebody, they are required to do certain things, and I'm required to do certain things, right? So there was the circumcision was part of that covenant. But we learn that now, of course, under the new covenant, it's the circumcision of the heart. It's not literal circumcision, because both male and female have to have this circumcision of the heart, right? And that's where we deal with the sins of the flesh that are obvious. That's why the New Testament deals with the works of the flesh, Galatians, and it gives the list. We're to cut those off. We are. So again, the New Testament, the New Covenant does not say you live any way you want to live just because you believe. All right? Doesn't say that. But the illustration of Abraham and Isaac's situation, and this is what they miss. There was no written law that once you had your son by promise, that you were to go sacrifice him on the mountaintop. Okay? What was the unique thing about this Abraham-Isaac thing? It was that Abraham was close enough to God to hear his voice and be led by his spirit. And it was the voice of the Lord speaking to Abraham that told him to go sacrifice his son. And yes, his steps to obey the voice of the Lord, the Holy Spirit speaking to him, to obey that was faith. Oh. See, you don't just pick, oh, well, I'm going to go out and do good deeds. That's my works. No, your works are hearing from the Lord and doing what he leads you to do. You see, because Abraham obeyed that first direction and went to go sacrifice his son Isaac on the mountain, and as he got there and he got the knife raised up, the Holy Spirit spoke again and said, don't do it. Just testing you. What does that show about Abraham? Sensitive enough to the voice and presence of the Lord in his life to go start a direction and the Lord be willing to be able to change that direction. See, that's why Abraham was demonstrating to us and God was demonstrating through Abraham what it meant to be a child of Abraham, and that is to walk and live by faith. See, let's put up Romans 10:17, please. See, I'll just tell you this right now. If you don't have a real relationship with Jesus and you are not filled with the Holy Spirit, you're not hearing from him and being led by him, then you're not really walking in true biblical Christianity. You're walking in religion. And there's a lot of people out there. Look, there's a lot of people go to church every Sunday that are walking in religion. It's just tradition. And it doesn't matter if you're trying to keep the Sabbath or you go to church on Sunday. If you don't have a personal, real relationship with Jesus Christ and you're full of the Holy Spirit and led by the Holy Spirit, if you don't have that, you have nothing. You have the outward appearance. You don't have the real thing. But this verse here, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, the word here, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This, when he talks about the word of God here, there's two words used in the New Testament for the word. It is, logos is one. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Logos meaning the divine expression of God Almighty. But then it uses the word rhema here. Now, rhema means what God is saying right now, what the Holy Spirit is speaking right now. It's more about not just what is written or just a basic expression, but it is about the Holy Spirit speaking to you about something right now. And this is what we miss here. He says when faith, he's talking about faith cometh by hearing. Hearing what? Hearing from the Lord, from the Holy Spirit. And yes, reading the Bible, that's number one. That's how you're going to build your faith, because these are the words of God. You need to hear the words of God. That's why you need to read them out loud to yourself. You need to speak them back to yourself. But you must also be hearing what the Holy Spirit is saying to the churches. You must be hearing what the Holy Spirit is saying to you to do. This is what's vital. I've used the illustration hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times, but there's nowhere written in the Bible. When I was in Washington, D.C. in 2008, Dean, go back to the Auburn, Opelika area and start a church. It's not written in there. Wish it had been. That'd have been nice. That'd have made it easy, right? I could have cut a lot of my journey short and just come here. But no, the Lord has a time. He wants you to do things, and he wants you to hear from him. You say, well, Pastor Dean, how do you know? You know, there's no scripture to tell that told you to come here, so how could you know? Well, what I did was, when the Lord spoke that to my heart, I just kind of filed it in a back file. I call it putting it on the back burner. We just let that one simmer. Because I was like, okay, Lord, if this is you, then please give me confirmation. So, no joke, within about a week, an old friend of mine here in Opelika called me and said, I never said a word to him about it. In fact, I didn't even speak it into the air. I didn't even want the devil to know. But this friend calls me and says, hey, there's a group of people here in the Auburn, Opelika area that might be interested in the type of church you would start. I was like, okay. I didn't even tell him then. I just kind of went, oh, okay. Well, we'll see what the Lord wants. So that's in October 2008. November, I come home from Thanksgiving. The Lord tells me. Then the Lord speaks to me and said, they're going to fire you on November 30th. I should have bought just a one-way ticket. I had a round trip because I lacked faith in what I was hearing. And I still have the email. They fired me on November 30th. But then I still put it. I hadn't even told Nancy yet about coming here and starting a church. Because I was still waiting for more confirmation from the Lord. And let me tell you what happened. So we're back. I'm back in Georgia, now unemployed. My wife's just days away from being unemployed because she had resigned so she could move to Washington, D.C. with me. And they'd already hired her replacement. So we were about both be unemployed. And we were already struggling. And so, oh, yeah, and then our cars, both of our cars had been repossessed. So we were having to borrow her daughter's car just to get her to work for her last few days. And I remember I would drive her to work, drop her off. And I remember getting up this particular morning and just this dark, heavy feeling over me. Anybody ever felt that? Just like something's terribly wrong. Listen to that, because that means you need to pray about something. That means you're not listening. It means the Lord's trying to get your attention. Now, I know sometimes it can be the devil, but sometimes it's just the Lord just wants you to go pray. So I dropped her off, went back to the house, and before I got to the house, I said, Lord, what is this? And the Lord is like, you're not doing what I told you to do. I'm like, really? What is that? And I had so pushed starting the church out of and on that back burner. It was so far back there, I was like, what are you talking about? He said, I told you already to go start a church in the Opelika, Auburn area. And the moment he said that to me, and I got back home and I prayed for a minute, and the Lord told me, call your friend, find that group of people he was talking about, and come over here and start a church. And when all of that came to me, the Holy Spirit came over me, just washed over me, and that heaviness lifted, and the peace of God and the presence of God settled in on me. And I knew for sure. You understand? I'm sharing this so you understand how you have to fight through some of this stuff sometimes and make sure that what you're hearing is from the Lord. Because sometimes it can be your own emotions or your own thoughts or the devil trying to deceive you. And you have to always try and test, okay, Lord, am I hearing you correctly? But the witness of the Holy Spirit and the confirmations of the Holy Spirit will come. And then he will let you know. And I knew, man, let me tell you, I never had more peace come upon me. I'm talking about the presence of God, the peace of God, when I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to do it. And I had to call my wife and tell her what we were about to do. And you know what was beautiful? That's what my wife's tough. You want me to tell you why my wife's tough? Because she said, it's the Lord's will, we're going to do it. And I think she was relieved. I mean, think about it. I was about to drag her to Washington, D.C. And she just, instead of Washington, D.C., just 2 hours away from where she lived, just over in Alabama. And that sometimes you have to, again, I remember when the Lord wanted me to go up to Washington, D.C. And I did not want to take that job because I knew it was full of problems. And I didn't want to be that far away from my family. And the Lord was like, so, your family, your children, are they your idols or what? He already told me. He said, this is your cross. This is what you must do. And it was like this Abraham Isaac thing because I did it hating. Let me see. I'm a Southern boy. I hate Yankee land. I'm sorry. I know some of y'all are from there. God bless your hearts. I don't like the North. I don't like the West, the desert. I like Alabama. All right. But I was willing to go live in Washington, D.C. And I'm talking about right smack in the middle of it. Because you do what the Lord tells you to do. But let me tell you, I was a happy camper. When I knew I get to come back to Alabama. I spent 2 or 3 weeks out in Nevada one time, and I drove, so going through Arizona, New Mexico, all that stuff. I want to tell you, after 2 weeks out there in that desert and looking at sand and scrubs, when I started getting back into Arkansas, Mississippi, Alabama, started seeing actual trees and green grass and green bushes. It was like a relief came over me. And I thought to myself, I am a Southern boy. I got to see the green grass and the green trees. I can't handle that sand. And I don't, you know, I couldn't live in a big city, y'all. I would obey the Lord and do it. My wife would tell you, I hate traffic too much to live in a big city. But see, the Lord, again, it's all about, though, you got to lay down your own desires, your own plans, your own ideas, and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? And here's the thing. If you are led by the Spirit, I love that verse. If you're led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Because guess what? If you're led by the Holy Spirit, you're going to be doing exactly what He wants you to do. He's not going to lead you to commit adultery. He's not going to lead you to go be a drunkard. He's not going to lead you into fornication or pornography. He's not going to lead you that way. So if you're going that way, you're not being led by the Holy Spirit. You're being led by the flesh. But if you're being led by the Holy Spirit, you're going to be doing Holy Spirit things like prayer, reading the Bible, worshiping God, being in church, going to witness to your neighbor, preaching the gospel, not being ashamed of the Word of God, but being bold. And if you're doing what He wants you to do, then guess what? There's going to be grace there to help you do it. Somebody say grace. Grace is the power and anointing of the Holy Spirit to help you do the will of God. It's not unmerited favor. That is not the definition of grace. Never has been, never will be. I don't know where they got that from. You look it up, charisma, meaning the anointing, the power of the Holy Spirit to help you do, God impressing you and helping you do what He wants you to do. Mercy is unmerited favor. Grace is power of the Holy Spirit to help you do it. But who does God give grace to? Humble. What is the sign of humility? Walking around like this and being very quiet? No, that's not humility. Humility is being, Jesus humbled himself. If we go back to Philippians 2, Jesus humbled himself and became obedient to the death of the cross. Humbling yourself is when you obey the word of the Lord. I don't care if that word might be standing up in Joel Osteen's church and giving a word of prophecy. Okay? And somebody would say, well, you're just doing that to try to get attention. No, if the Holy Spirit told you to do it and you're obeying what the Holy Spirit told you to do, you're being humble. But if you say no, the Holy Spirit told you to go stand in Joel Osteen's church and give a word of prophecy, and you say no, you're in pride. Even if you're hiding out in fear, you're in pride. I told people, I said, I could write it on the board. Humble equals obedience. Pride equals disobedience. And this is another reason. How do you say, Pastor Dean, how do I judge or discern what I'm hearing in the Spirit? By the Bible. The principles of the Scripture. You will know. See, I knew and I had known for years that God was calling me to plant churches, and I had done that for years. So it was not out of the ordinary for God to say to me in 2008, you're going to plant a church, right? But planting a church, does that violate any principle of Scripture? Is that in any way evil? No. You see? But I got, you know, somebody comes to us, and we've had counseling situations where people came to us and said, I'm divorcing the Holy Spirit's leading me to divorce my spouse. Well, have they cheated on you? No. Do they beat on you? No. Then what are you doing? Because it's not the Holy Spirit talking to you. He's not going to lead you to do something against his written word. Not going to do it. But see, all these people, all these people worried about, you need to keep the feast. You need to keep Sabbath. You need to do this. If they put more emphasis on telling people you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, you need to pray in tongues as often as you can, praying in the Spirit so that you can build up yourself in your most holy faith, and so you begin to operate and flow in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I don't hear this from those ministries. I listen to some. It's painful. Because their gospel is, come keep the law with us. And the true gospel is, walk by faith in Jesus Christ, be filled with the Holy Spirit, be led by the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to tell you right now, the moment that you try to say, I'm going to go back under the law for righteousness, is the moment the Holy Spirit goes, nope, that's not where we're going. So if you're going that way, the Holy Spirit's going that way. And see, they can mock, they can do all their stuff all they want to. They're in dead, empty religion. And that's why one of them started making veiled threats at me. See, because that flesh can't handle when it's really confronted. That's why when Jesus, healed the man on the Sabbath, they said they took up stones to stone him. They wanted to destroy him for simply healing a man on the Sabbath day. And Jesus was like, you guys are missing the whole point of this whole thing. I mean, if that becomes your focus, rather than getting the man with a withered arm, a new arm, something's wrong with you. I want to see the dead raised. The crippled walk, the blind see. And you know what? In the ministry God has given me over these last 36 years, you want me to tell you the miracles I've seen? I have seen the crippled walk. I have seen the deaf hear. I have seen cancer. I've seen people eaten up with cancer so bad that their bones were breaking, bone cancer, that they were brittle and breaking, and the doctor said, it's over. And pray for them in Jesus' name, lay hands on them, and seen them go back to the cancer doctor in Arkansas and find not a trace. That's what we want more of. I want more of the situation like when I went to plant a church over in Georgia back in 1996, and the first service we had over 60 people show up. And sitting in the back row were five Mormons who had never been in a Protestant church, a normal Protestant church in their life. And when I preached the gospel that morning and gave the altar call, those five Mormons came forward to give their lives to Jesus. And when I laid hands on them, the power of God hit them and put them in the floor. And they gave their lives to Jesus Christ, not the fake Jesus of the Mormon church. That's what we want. When I went to the island of Mauritius and preached the gospel to them that night, 200 people in there, mostly Hindus. I didn't know it that half the church was Hindus in there, come to see this crazy preacher from America. And I saw these four ladies come down. They were probably in their late 50s, early 60s, came down at the time. And they could, you know, they spoke French and Hindi? I guess is that one of the languages? Anyway, they didn't speak English, so I couldn't understand what they were saying. And it was loud, but they came up to the altar. I gave an altar call to accept Jesus. And I'm still, for some reason in my head, I guess because of my American mindset, I'm just thinking these are Christians coming up that just rededicating their lives. You know, it's kind of what we get used to in the church world. But I remember stepping down off the platform to put my hand, to pray for them, to lay hands. I never even touched them. I just stretched my hand. All four of them hit the floor. Oh, and nobody called them either on the concrete floor. And they were fine. If it's real, you ain't getting hurt. And they got up and they were just, you know, they were doing their thing and happy and joyful. And so that night I asked the pastor, I said, hey, those four ladies that came in, are they your church members? He goes, oh, no. He said, they're Hindu women. He said, they go to the temple right next door all every week. He said, they gave their lives to Jesus. They got saved. That's the power of God, folks. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. See, that's what I want to hear from these Torah people. I want to hear about the power of God falling in their meetings if they meet. Because I can tell you it doesn't. And that's why most of them, all they do is show after show after show about one conspiracy after the other. But you don't hear them talking much about people being born again. People being baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. The gifts of the Holy Spirit operating in their midst. Miracles happening. No. See, we need to be hungry and thirsty for the right things. I tell people, challenge yourself. Think about... You just ask yourself these questions. When's the last time I had a powerful witnessing, preaching the gospel moment to somebody face to face? When's the last time I actually led somebody to Jesus and said, pray with me to repent and give your life to Jesus? When's the last time you laid hands on somebody and they got healed? Or when's the last time you cast a demon out of somebody? Say, oh, Pastor Dean, now that's what you're supposed to do. No. These signs shall follow them that believe, not just them in the fivefold ministry. You see, if we're hungry for Jesus, then we're going to be hungry for the things that he is focusing on. And I can tell you right now, when he told them, I have come to seek and to save that which is lost. I came to turn sinners to repentance. Then when he showed them and he started healing every manner of sickness and disease, when he started casting demons out of people, when he started doing miracles, when he started operating in the supernatural and telling them their thoughts, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, he was showing us, here's what you do. And let me tell you right now, anybody hungry to be filled with the Holy Spirit, led by the Holy Spirit, and see the power of God in their life is going to hate anything that gets in the way. That means any sin that would get in the way. You will hate it. See, I don't know about y'all. I remember this. This was back in 1988. I'd rededicated my life to the Lord in 87. I'd led a high-level Satanist to the Lord. That was my first convert. went through a year ordeal with that person. Yeah, and that's when I was told that the Nephilim was, they were hidden underground. This was in 87. I was told that, and this person that came out of high-level Satanism told me, yeah, they're hidden underground, and they're going to come out in the tribulation period. Miami? Is it a hoax? Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. I don't know. I don't know why 70 police cars showed up. Something going on. But I'm going to tell you, more of this stuff is going to be happening. You hear me? But I can tell you right now, it was the power of God. When I led that girl to the Lord, who was a high-level Satan, generational Satanist, witch, being trained to be a high priestess, it wasn't, there was never any discussions about how we needed to go keep the law. It was, let's get these demons out of you in Jesus' name. Let's get baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Let's pray in the Spirit and pray with our understanding also. And it was during that time, you know what, when I was witnessing to those people and I'd run into them when I was in Northwest Arkansas back in those days, and I would run into these people in the street. And I've told you all this. I went and sit down on a bench in a park right there on the main strip. Eureka Springs, Arkansas, this would have been around 1988 time period. And I sat down on the bench, and I look at this girl in her eyes. She won't look at me. So I start talking about Jesus, she won't look at me. So this car drove by, and the Holy Spirit just gave me just revelation. I just saw it. I knew that they were Satanists, that they were friends with this girl, that she was a Satanist, that they were all in the same coven together. And I told her, I said, those are your friends. I said, you're all in the coven, but you're scared to death. And you really want out, but you believe there's no way out because they'll kill you. And I'm telling her this, and the tears start rolling down her face. She never said a word to me. I said, Jesus can help you. Jesus can protect you. He's more powerful than Satan. And I talked, and the tears got thicker and heavier, but she was too afraid. But I talked to her for a while. See that right there? The power of God. I told another one about the assassination attempt on me. I told them what curve of the mountain it was in. They were standing there with a high-powered rifle, and the guy got blinded and knocked to the ground. I saw it like a movie. They were sent to shoot me as I drove through that curve because it was, you had to basically go about 5 miles an hour on this curve. And they were like, how could you know that? I mean, they just came out and said, how in the world could you know that? That's exactly what happened. So it's called the word of knowledge. You see, we are to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. That is what our lives are supposed to be about as Christians. Hearing His voice, doing His will. And some of it we will understand clearly from the Word. Some of it's not written in there. We got to hear Him. And then we have to do it. There's nowhere it's going to say right here, let's say you got a next door neighbor named Bob. There's nowhere it says, Hey, Rich, go to your next door neighbor, Bob, and tell him about Jesus. But there may come a day where the Lord says, hey, two doors down, three doors down, Rich, there's a guy named Bob. You need to go talk to him about Jesus. I've had the Lord actually tell me, go to that house, knock on the door, and tell them about me. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Be about the Father's business. It's simple. It really is, isn't it? We complicate things. See, I always come back to preaching on this and talking about this being led by the Spirit, because It is what is the most important thing. After you're truly born again and your sins are washed away and you've repented and you're trying to be a disciple of Jesus, the next thing you need to seek is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the first initial evidence of that is the gift of supernatural unknown tongues. And if you don't have that, that's the next step for you. Seek Him until you are baptized, filled to overflowing, and the gift of tongues is operating in your life. You say, well, Pastor Dean, my denomination just said tongues is done away with. Well, your denomination lied to you. Believe the Bible, not your denomination. Amen? Say, Pastor Dean, talking in tongues is not popular. I don't care. I know the mega churches, most of your Pentecostal mega churches, the reason they are now mega churches is because they set aside the gifts of the Spirit. They're too embarrassed by them, and so because they want to grow a church. I am never going to be embarrassed by the gifts and power of the Holy Spirit. Tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecy, visions, dreams, whatever way the word of knowledge or word of wisdom wants to manifest. Tongues and interpretation in church. The gifts of healing and working of miracles. Man, let me tell you, there's nothing more awesome than to walk up to somebody and all of a sudden God just gives you what's going on in their life. And you just start telling them. You've never met them before. You've never seen them before. You don't know anything about it. And you just know. Sometimes it's just a knowing. It's just like God downloads it. And you just start saying it. And guess what? It takes faith to step out and start saying it. And some of you are scared to do it. Some of you have had it happen to you, but you won't open your mouth. Because you're still nervous and scared. Stop being nervous and scared. Be bold. Step out in faith. You say, what if I make a mistake? Guess what? God can forgive you and you can learn from it. But I'd rather somebody try to walk on the water and start to sink than stay in the boat. You hear me? As the old preacher said one time, and I can't remember his name, old preacher said, I'd rather be a wet water walker than a dry boat rider. It is kind of messy when you get out there on the water. It's stormy. The devil's trying to deceive you. There's all kind of counterfeit spirits and counterfeit supernatural stuff. And so, yeah, it's scary out there. But you keep your eyes on Jesus, you don't sink. You start looking at all the other things, you start to sink. But I'd still rather be out there sinking and crying out to Jesus to lift me up, and me and Jesus walking in the water together. Come on, let's go back to the boat now. See, all the rest of them sit there. What is this crazy guy talking about? Well, Lord, invite me to come out. If it's you, invite me out there. See, that's why, look, you want to know one of the reasons the Lord loved Peter so much? It's because Peter had issues, but he was just bold enough to obey sometimes. He was just bold enough to step out and say, yeah, okay, let's do it. Let's do this thing. I think that's why he got to preach the first sermon, the Pentecost. I'm ready to step. I'm ready to step out of the boat. Lord, let's do it. I'm ready to go. And sometimes that got him in trouble. He yanking out a sword, cutting off somebody's ear. You just chill that right there, Peter. But now you're getting ready to preach? Oh, yeah, come on. Let's go to the Gentiles. Let's go to Cornelius' house. Okay, let's go. See, you got to be like that, ready to go, ready to do whatever the Spirit leads you to do. Let's make 2024 the year we put down fear, we get filled with the Holy Spirit or refilled, and we start operating and walking in true Christianity. Amen? And true Christianity is going to see souls saved, lives changed. Prodigals come home, sick bodies, diseased bodies healed, crippled people healed, deaf people healed. And sometimes that's going to take some fasting and prayer. This is also needs to be a year we spend some more time in fasting and prayer than we did last year. How many of you are glad 2023 is over with? I am. It was a weird year. Just weird. And I'm not saying there's not more weird stuff coming, because now we got crazy creatures that say walking down the streets of Miami. It's going to get wild out there, folks. It's going to get sporty, as we say. But see, I don't care what they do. I told you, I've been telling it for years. They're going to start appearing in public. I told you that. Yeah, they are. Soon they're going to be walk out and appear in public on CNN with Barack and Michelle. And I think I'm lying, but they're going to walk out with Barack and Michelle. That's going to happen. Joe won't know what's going on. Joe's like, who's that? What's that? Y'all okay this morning? You know how many, I can't even count how many sermons I've talked about this. But if you're children of Abraham, you walk by faith that has a relationship that hears his voice. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. Jesus said the Holy Spirit, he would send the Holy Spirit and he would speak to us. He would show us things to come. He would lead us and guide us into all truth. That's all you need to ask. Am I filled with the Holy Spirit? Am I being led by the Holy Spirit? Am I allowing myself to be led by the Holy Spirit? That's it. If you are, you will see fruit. You will see God confirm it with signs following. That should be your goal. To know Jesus, to be filled with his Spirit, and to be led by his Spirit, and to see the fruit of it. And yes, there'll be seasons where you go through the pruning, and it seems like you're bearing no fruit. But the pruning is necessary so you get to the next season so you can bear more fruit. And you're going to go through seasons. You're going to go through dry seasons in your prayer time. You're going to go through dry seasons in your worship time. You're going to go through dry seasons during going to church. You're going to go through dry seasons. It's okay. If you just keep seeking him, fill me. I'm thirsty. I'm hungry, Lord. Fill me. What does he say about those who hunger and thirst for righteousness? What does he say? They'll be filled. See, I constantly say, Lord, I'm thirsty. I'm hungry. I want more of you. This is Christianity. I will never be settled. Just say, I'm good. We're good right here. Never settle. I don't care if you're going through a dry time. Never settle for it. Never say, this is the way I'm going to live the rest of my life. No. Because remember, I remember before the whole creation debate happened. I remember the Lord, we were in prayer meetings here, and the Holy Spirit moved, and I gave public tongues. And was it Cherie or somebody interpreted? I can't remember. Was it you, Cherie? The interpretation was surprises. Gonna be some surprises. Whew, that was a surprise. Still getting some surprises from it. That was the Lord. That was a big deal. That's touched a lot of people. It's reached a lot of people. That person was reached that I read the testimony because of that. And it was more, God wanted to reach them more than just the biblical cosmology issue. He wanted to reach them over the Torah keeping issue and all the confusion and darkness that come in their lives. Wanted to bring them out of it. See, I always know the Lord has more than one reason for something he does. That's why you obey. He always has multiple reasons. Go ahead.
Do you believe a person can be a Torah observer and still be a Christian? I'm thinking about Rob Skiba.
Yes, of course they can. Like I said, I had an old friend that did it for years and years, but never did he do it for righteousness' sake. I think the moment, of course, none of them will say. They know that they can't say the certain things because we will call them on it. But how do I put it? If they get into it to the point that Jesus is no longer God in the flesh, that you've got to do all these things to truly be right and be in the kingdom of God, then they are preaching a false gospel and they are cursed. So that's why it's dangerous. You can start down the road and just learn things. You know, you can learn Hebrew. You can learn about what, you know, all the types and shadows and all that stuff that the Old Testament. I mean, one of the best studies I ever did when I first got saved was the Tabernacle of Moses study, right? And all what all those things meant, all the types and shadows of that. It's a great, great study. But we can learn. We learn from the Old Testament principles. We just don't go back and try to live there, right? And, you know, like I said, there's a lot of people that get into the Torah movement and they have great and good intentions because they're like, oh, I just want to do it the way I should do it. And they get all like, you know, and that's good. But it's just a lot of people, because they lack an understanding of the, you know, the Bible talks about rightly dividing the Word of God. Well, rightly dividing it is New Covenant, Old Covenant. And we have to understand those things. Again, I tell them all the time, they act like, well, God hasn't changed. Well, he changed some things, though. Or you got to still be sacrificing animals to cover your sin. Or you still need to go to a Levitical priesthood. There's things that changed under the new covenant. Now, I don't know why they can't accept that. But there's a lot of things that changed. And there's a lot of things that we're not required to do anymore that are under the old covenant. The Bible, the New Testament, the apostles and Jesus, our Lord, told us what we are required to do under the New Testament, and that's what we do. But again, there's nothing wrong with going back. And we went to the Biblical History Museum in LaGrange. We've been there several times. We've done the Passover meal there with them. You know, we go through and see all the artifacts from 4,000, 5,000 years ago that are there. Stuff straight out of Israel. I mean, so none of that is wrong to learn. It's not wrong to participate in a Passover or a Tabernacles. I've done all those things. I have celebrated the feast many times over the years. So it's not that I'm against it. I'm not against it. If you want to do it, do it. But don't start thinking you're holier than anybody else, you're more righteous than anybody else, that you have to do it to really be right with God or to really show you love God or whatever. Don't go down that road, because once it becomes the way you become more righteous, then you have left the faith of Jesus Christ and you are now under the law. And it says Christ will be of none effect to you. I mean, that verse, go ahead and put that verse up real quick. Galatians 5:4. This to me is where you can end up. When he said, Christ has become of no effect to you whosoever you are justified. That means you are seeking your righteousness, your justification by doing the law, you are fallen from grace. So the problem is that once that begins to happen, they begin to fall from grace. So it's a tiny little shift that takes place, but that's where they end up. A lot of them end up saying Paul was a false apostle. They end up saying Jesus is only, he's a created, had an origin or beginning, that he is not God in the flesh. They deny the triune nature of God. And it just goes down into complete heresy, complete false doctrine. And so if you see something that's leading off into the abyss, I would not go that direction. Now, some people don't go all the way, and that's good. But just like this person, I read their testimony today. What did it lead? Scared about what name to use. Now think about it. If you're scared of what name to use to call upon God, how are you going to pray? And God did not make it that way. He said there's a name above every name. What's that name? Jesus. If you speak English, it's Jesus. We're not Hebrews. We're not Jews, so we don't say Yeshua. We say Jesus. And then all these other made-up names. Look, I've got Dr. Michael Brown, who is a Jewish, born-again, spirit-filled Christian. And I've got his, all of his articles and all of his stuff on. I mean, he's a PhD in Mideastern languages. He speaks seven of them fluently. He's fluent in Hebrew and Greek, Chaldean. I mean, and he will say there is no, he said, Yeshua, using the name of Yeshua is fine. He said, all these other names they've come up with, he said, there's no basis in the language or any aspect of linguistics to come up with those names. It's real simple. But they will tell you, you don't use a certain name, you're not right. Jesus, and he broke down Dr. Michael Brown, you know, he's a PhD from New York University in Mideastern languages, and of course, he's led Bible colleges all in different ones across the world. But one thing he tells you, they try to connect Jesus' name to Zeus. Have you seen that? And he's like, that's like just saying, you know, well, we got two words that kind of sound the same, like piece of pie and, you know, world peace. He's like, well, they sound the same or they sound similar, so they're connected to each other. No, they're not. They don't even mean anything the same thing. But he said, that's ridiculous. And these people that do this kind of stuff, or they just make up like, oh, this sounds like this, so it must be evil. I'm like, okay, you have a problem. All right? Remember how we started this today. Unless you become like a little child, the faith of a little child, you will in no wise enter the kingdom of God. And they can say whatever they want to say. I have simple faith that Jesus' blood shed for me is enough. The power of his resurrection, the power of his Holy Spirit in me, working through me, helping me do what he wants me to do, that is enough. I don't need a list of your hand-picked, cherry-picked laws you want to try to keep. Don't need that. Don't come talking to me about that. Come talking to me about Jesus and we can talk. Talk to me about what Jesus did. Talk to me about what the Holy Spirit's doing. Talk to me about what the Holy Spirit's doing in your life. That's what's important. Let's stand. I want to do new wine before we go. Y'all only preach about an hour and 15 minutes now. Y'all got off easy this morning. Y'all getting up slow like, you know, you've been in a car wreck or something. Y'all okay? I saw that. Did I keep you in the seat too long? That was the slowest get up of any. It was like, I'm like, man, we all a little worn out from this crazy end of the year. Yeah. Sitting is the new smoking. I guess. Oh, Lord, help us. All right. Well, let's pray, and we're going to do this song. And y'all know the drill. Hug some necks before you leave. Father, we just come to you this morning and we thank you for your word, and it's true. And we love you. We praise you. We exalt you. We thank you for all that's been done for us. And we just thank you, Jesus, for your death on the cross, the suffering, the beating you took, the blood you shed that was sinless, spotless, the only blood that could wash our sins away. God in the flesh. And you rose from the dead because, Lord, you are eternal life. So we worship you. We look to you. Help us walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, led by the Spirit, in this new covenant you've given us. Help us walk in it in fullness and power. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead and give him praise this morning. Lord, we praise you. Fill us with new wine, Lord, the new wine of your spirit, the new wine of the new covenant, Lord. Fill us with that, Lord. Let us be baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in unknown tongues, supernatural tongues. Let all the other gifts of the Spirit begin to work in our lives and flow through our lives. Lord, I pray that 2024 will be, Lord, a year of the gifts and power of the Holy Spirit, the true gifts, the true power, moving in your church, among your people, and through your people to the world, Lord, winning the lost, Lord, being that witness like you were with the woman at the well, supernatural demonstration. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right, somebody hug some necks before you leave. Give the Lord praise, and we are going to be eating downstairs afterwards, so go get what you want. Come on back. God bless.